Burns v. Burns. The next matter is Burns v. Burns. Counsel, whenever you're ready.
Thank you. May it please the court, my name is Matt Catlett. I represent the appellant in this matter. We're here on the appellant's motion for a hearing granted by the court. And the issue is very simple. The people of the state of Nebraska, through their elected representatives, have enacted a law codified in Nebraska Revised Statute Section 25-217 that provides that an action is dismissed as to any defendant that is not served within 6 months of the filing of the complaint. There's several cases by this court as well as the Supreme Court providing that this occurs by operation of law. It's automatic. Nothing, no docket entry needs to be made, no order needs to actually be issued by the court. This is a rule that's, my experience, is actually not known by many lawyers. But I know it. And in this matter, the appellee filed an action to modify a dissolution, a decree of dissolution, on June 28th, 2013. Statute provides that the complainant, the plaintiff, shall request that a summons be issued. July 5th, the complaining party requested and filed a request with the clerk of the court that a summons be issued, and a summons was issued, and that was on July 5th, 2013. Statute provides that a summons shall be served within 20 days and of its issuance for a return of no service shall be filed. About 21 days later after the summons was issued, I think it, well, 24 days, I think on July 29th was the day, a no return, no service return was filed with the clerk of the court, indicating that summons was, for whatever reason, not able to be served. Instead of requesting that a new summons be issued, and there's statute that provides for this. It says that, you know, the plaintiff may, you know, request that additional or separate summons be issued. Instead of requesting that a new summons be issued, what the appellee in this case did was file a motion to appoint a special process server. And that motion was sustained by the trial court. That order did not absolve the duty to serve an actual summons. And the appellee in this case never actually requested that a new summons be served. Ever. On September 20th, I believe was the date, the appellant filed in the district court a special appearance. This court has noted the special appearance has been abolished by, we now have these rules of pleading, and essentially is now represented in section 12B, the challenge of personal jurisdiction or process or sufficiency of process. But the appellant filed a special appearance, essentially objecting to the court's exercise of jurisdiction over her in respect of this modification proceeding.
So she was objecting to personal jurisdiction as opposed to subject matter jurisdiction. Is that correct?
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess it would be, I mean, certainly the subject matter of the action was something that the court had jurisdiction over. But, yeah, I mean, ultimately, when we're talking about service of process, we're talking about personal jurisdiction. And she filed a special appearance. And to preserve her right, you know, to You know, and we know what a special appearance is. This is an objection to personal jurisdiction, service of, you know, some deficiency in process or deficiency in service of process. And it was verified, filed, and it was not ruled upon until, I believe it was February. So 6 months after June 28, 2013 was December 28. And the appellant submits that this matter was dismissed by operation of law on 6 months later.
Well, but the court ruled that there was proper service.
Yeah, the trial court said that the appellant had notice, had sufficient notice, cited to a case, Doe versus Board of Regents, that all that is required is that the party have notice, and, you know, general notice and an opportunity to be heard. But,
well, she had actual notice. I mean, she had actual notice because she doesn't contest that she actually received the application to modify. It was delivered to her daughter, but she knew she received it. She contacted her attorney and said, here's what I've got.
And this is what I submitted to the court in my brief in support of my motion for rehearing, and that is nobody files a special appearance unless they are generally apprised of the pendency, you know, of something that's happened. Okay? Nobody files that. If they didn't have any notice of any kind, they would file nothing. So,
when the court enters the order finding that there was proper notice, service, whatever terms you want to use, and giving your client an opportunity to answer, is that a final appealable order?
The Nebraska Supreme Court has held that the denial of a special appearance is not of an order that can be appealed. It's not a final appealable order.
So at that point, your client had to choose whether to go ahead and file something or to stand on the special appearance?
Well, and I mean, right. I mean, to file an answer or to not file an answer and to have a default judgment entered against her and deal with it that way. But it didn't matter.
So she chose to file an answer?
She chose to file an answer, but the action was dismissed by operation of law on December 28, 2013.
Okay, so if the court had found that your client should have won the motion to modify, I found 100% in your client's favor, you'd be here saying today we should set that aside.
Well, I don't know.
Well, if the court didn't have jurisdiction because the case had been dismissed, wouldn't you have taken that same position? And if you wouldn't have, wouldn't the other side then be saying that?
I don't know what win means. I mean, when does win mean that the act, that the complaint to modify is just completely dismissed?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, my client would not have appealed that. I mean,
so you would have stood by that. That'd been okay. But the other side certainly could have appealed and said, you know, this case was dismissed by operation of law, and even though she consented to coming in and having this hearing, we should set the whole thing aside and start all over again.
The Supreme Court has held under, I think it was Opalka versus Abraham, that this is true. The action is dismissed even if a trial has been held on the merits.
But in those cases, did the court find that there was jurisdiction, or did the court find that there was not jurisdiction and the party went ahead and filed something? They had to do another summons or whatever to get the case before the trial court.
In those cases, did the trial court find that there was no jurisdiction?
They found that there was jurisdiction.
I don't think it was really an issue. It came up on appeal.
You don't think it matters whether the trial court found that there was jurisdiction or there wasn't jurisdiction?
No. I think that if a summons is not served within 6 months, if service of process does not occur within 6 months of the filing of the complaint, the action is dismissed by operation of law. This court has held as much. I mean, I suppose at some point, and I understand that it creates this, in this court's opinion, in McDonald versus Fisher, talked about how dismissal occurs. You know, do you need an order of the court? And this court said, no, don't need anything. You know, we understand that, you know, clerks will, but it's just dismissed.
But in that case, the court had found that there was no jurisdiction. And then they served another summons on the individual, and then they filed the answer. They didn't refile the whole thing all over again.
Yeah, this was the amended petition where the original petition that it had not been served within 6 months, and then an amended petition was filed. So right.
The
yeah.
court didn't find that there was jurisdiction within the 6 months. In this case, the court found there was jurisdiction. There's also a case
2 months after the action was dismissed under the statute.
But the matter was under advisement.
Well, what this court is implying somehow is that the filing of a special appearance somehow stops the clock on 25-217, and there is no law that says that. In fact, that can't possibly be. This is the will of the legislature.
But there's no finding by the trial court that there wasn't proper service.
The trial court doesn't need to find that there was proper service.
The court found there was. And so if there was proper service, then the 6 months doesn't apply.
This court, the trial court, found that she had notice. The trial court didn't say anything about a summons. The trial court, in its order in February, when it overruled the special appearance, did not specifically make a finding with respect to whether a summons was served. The trial court said that she had notice, and under Doe versus Board of Regents, University of Nebraska, that's all that matters.
And your client, even after all that, chose to file a general appearance indicating that she wanted relief, correct?
But the case was dismissed. It was already dismissed. And you cannot appeal the denial of a special appearance. It's not a Nebraska Supreme Court has held. It's not a final appeal court.
So were you forced into a position where you either had to rely upon your position that you're taking now, that a case had been dismissed and that any default judgment would be entered was a nullity and you could appeal that decision, or file a general appearance of some type and ask for relief from the court and now consent to the jurisdiction of the court?
There was no case. I mean, if a new complaint had been filed, you know, perhaps, but, I mean, this complaint was dismissed by operation of law 6 months after it was filed by statute.
The trial court judge said it wasn't.
The trial court never addressed the issue of whether of the summons. And that's what we're really here on, the motion for rehearing. What this court granted rehearing is on the issue of whether a summons needed to be served on the appellant. And there is no question that a summons needed to be served on her. That's what the statutes say. The only way service of process can occur without a summons is when service is by publication. But that can only happen upon motion and affidavit. I presented to the court here on the overhead projector what a summons looks like. A summons is an official court document that tells somebody that there is a lawsuit. It has instructions about what you're supposed to do. A lawsuit has been filed against you. You have 30 days to file an answer. This is the this is the name of the plaintiff's lawyer. This is the mode of service. You know, this is the court. This is the address of the clerk. This is where you file an answer. You know, not everybody's represented by a lawyer, and who knows where to file an answer. You know, This is an easy case, really, and, you know, the appellant in this matter has filed a motion for summary reversal and remand 13 months ago. 13 months ago is when she filed that. And then she filed a brief, and then the court issued its decision, and then a motion for rehearing. This is a long time for something that should have been fixed a long, long time ago. There was no summons. The original summons had been returned unserved. There was no new summons that was requested ever, and there was no service by publication. It doesn't matter what happened after December 28, 2013. There are no
Mr. Kelly, I do have a question.
Okay. No.
So, in order to come to the conclusion that you want, that this case was dismissed, don't we have to find that the court's order finding sufficient service was wrong?
No.
Well, so if a matter is submitted, if a motion is filed, a hearing is held, but the judge doesn't rule on it until 6 months after, are you saying, regardless of whether that judge is right or wrong, that case is dismissed, even though the matter's been submitted to the court?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. In fact, this is a point that I raised in my brief, in my original brief, before the rehearing was granted by the court, and that is, the filing of the special appearance didn't prohibit the appellee's lawyer from filing a new precipice for a summons.
But why would he if he believed he was correct in the service that he had? I mean, I can't think of any motion, I can't think of any situation where a party timely files a motion, but because it's not ruled on timely, the court loses its jurisdiction.
Well, again, you are permitted to specially appear, to object to the court's jurisdiction over you. You're permitted to do that. And that's what she did. She chose to do that. That didn't submit her to the jurisdiction of the court until the court rules on it. However, the court didn't rule on it until after the 6 months had expired. The case was dismissed. The motion was moot at that point. It's like, what if the plaintiff had died, for example, you know, before the court had ruled? The matter's moot. I mean, this happens all the time, where a motion is filed, and before it's ruled on, facts or circumstances arise that, you know, essentially render the application and vacation the motion moot. And so that's what happened here. On December 28th, there was no need for the court to issue to rule on the special appearance. The case was dismissed. So,
do you have a case where that's actually happened?
I can't find a single case where first of all, not every state is the same. Every federal court is different. Every state has their own statutes. There's even states that permit a party to move the court to extend the time. But we have a statute here. This is passed by the legislature that says it is dismissed. There's no provision for a court to extend the deadline in which a summons has to be served.
Only dismissed if the party isn't properly served, right?
Yes, it's dismissed if the party, if there is no service within 6 months.
So let's take this situation. A party is properly served within that 6 months. But the defendant files a special appearance saying, I wasn't properly served.
Right.
The court doesn't rule on that for 6 months. Is that case dismissed, even though they were properly served?
Yeah, I mean, I understand. Well, first of all, I don't think that a case is dismissed necessarily by insufficient service. I think what a court can do is the court can just quash this service and direct the plaintiff to, you know, and say, yeah, this particular defendant was not properly served, or there's a defect in process or service of process. The court can do that and can say, especially when it comes to process, serving process, you know, perhaps in a case where, you know, a defendant is asserting that he doesn't have, you know, sufficient minimum, he's a non-resident, doesn't have sufficient minimum contacts with forum state, we're talking about some defect in the process or a defect in the service of process.
Well,
I appreciate that creates an interesting issue, but I think what the courts do in that situation is that they permit the plaintiff then,
take my situation. They are properly served, but the defendant files a motion to dismiss saying, I wasn't properly served. The court doesn't rule on that within 6 months from the time the petition is filed. That case can't possibly be dismissed by operation of law because that person was properly served.
I mean, this is what the statute says, and this is what this court has decided with respect to 25217. They say it is automatically dismissed.
Right, if the defendant is not properly served. So if they are properly served, but they still file a motion to dismiss, and the court doesn't rule on that within 6 months, that case still exists because they were properly served and the statute doesn't kick in.
Well, I mean, I guess it's just an issue of timing about, you know, if the court finds that the defendant was properly served, then, you know, you just go forward and the defendant is going to have to take it up on appeal when the case is over, if the defendant gets an adverse result or whatever.
Which takes me back to my question of, in order to find in your favor, don't we first have to decide whether the court was correct in its ruling on the special appearance? Because if it was correct and the defendant was properly served, the statute doesn't kick in. But if the court was wrong and your client was not properly served, then the statute kicks in.
Okay. I mean, I guess I'm okay with that.
And that takes me back to my question. If you don't think your client was properly served.
Well, I know she wasn't. There was no summons that was even issued.
And the court says she was. and that you guys, the court said I have jurisdiction over this to proceed. Don't you have an obligation to either sit tight on your situation, your position that you weren't properly served? And if you choose to go ahead and enter your jurisdiction, your general jurisdiction, there's cases that say specifically that once you have entered your general appearance, you waive any problem of jurisdiction.
If the court was wrong, you go back to December 28th. You just go back. And then there is no case at that point.
But you have to stand on that. You can't file a pleading and ask the court to take jurisdiction of the case, hear the case, try the case, and then come back and say, oh, court should have never have taken this case because there wasn't jurisdiction. It's too late.
Well, this reminds me of the rule regarding requests for admissions. And this drives trial judges crazy because there's a case that says that a request for admission, I mean, is deemed admitted if no answer. You know, this drives trial judges nuts because they're like, wait a minute, no, you really should need to file a motion to have the request deemed admitted. But there's a case that says, well, a request for admission is deemed admitted if a response is not served within 30 days. And so it's this thing where, you know, do we need the court to actually say this? I mean, I guess I don't really have a problem with the court saying that first we have to find that the trial court was wrong, and then if the trial court was wrong, then the case was in fact dismissed on December 28th or 29th, whatever day we choose.
But haven't you waived that by filing your general jurisdiction?
The general appearance wasn't filed until February.
What difference does that make? Court already found you had jurisdiction?
You can't appeal the denial of a special appearance, according to the Nebraska Supreme Court.
You can if you sit tight and let the court go ahead and enter default judgment, and then you appeal. That's the procedure that's been
outlined.
There was
no complaint. I mean, this is a circle, and I understand
it's
a
circle.
A little confusing here.
It's a tough question, but it's not confusing.
I'll tell you this. If I would have requested a bill of exceptions. You know, I would have paid for that bill.
And that's another problem.
I would have paid for the bill of exceptions, you know. Law says dismiss by operation of law. You don't need an order even by the trial court. It just is dismissed. Obviously, at some point, somebody needs to find, a court needs to find that service was improper, you know, that there was no service. Obviously. This is easy. There was no summons. There was original summons that was returned unserved, but there was no new summons that was even requested.
I think we've taken you way over.
Yes.
Do you have any other questions?
I don't have any more.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate you coming in and arguing today. Matter is deemed submitted. Next matter is Irwin versus Associated Staffing.